Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah shares a special Mother's Day message from our series in Proverbs, Making Life Work. This week's message is titled, Poetry in Motion. Now here's Pastor Ray.
Mother's Day, please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And while you're doing that, let me just say a congratulations to Pastor Joel Slater, who walked yesterday to receive his master's degree. And so we're so proud of Joel. A lot of work to do that. It's a lot of work to be a pastor and a father of a growing family. May your quiver be full. And also to get your degree. So we're just very, very proud of you. Congratulations to you. You know, every Mother's Day, hoping to honor women, well-intentioned pastors preach from this most famous biblical text associated with femininity, Proverbs chapter 31. And we are in a series in the book of Proverbs called Making Life Work, and this is Mother's Day, so guess what? We're going to talk from this passage here on this Mother's Day. And the passage begins, really, the mother's part of this, or the women's part of this, begins in verse 10 and goes all the way down to the end of the chapter, but it begins in verse 10 with this. The author says, a wife of noble character, who can find? A wife or a woman, and the Hebrew word for wife and woman is the same one, isha, a wife or a woman of noble character, or you might have in your Bible, a virtuous woman who can find. And then what follows, though, as you scroll down, and we're not going to read this verse by verse today, but as you scroll through, you scan the rest of this wonderful chapter, what you find is a list of superwoman virtues that leaves ladies convinced that the answer to that rhetorical question is no one. I mean, a wife like that of noble character, a virtuous woman like that, who can find? Well, no one can live up to that. All across America today in churches, women are enduring yet another pedantic preacher like me telling them how to be a domestic superhero. But that misses the point, really, of this chapter, of this text. Misses the point. The chapter is not all about that. Proverbs 31 is not a litmus test for a great mom. Rather, it's about everyday character that transcends both gender and role. Everyday character. That's what this is about. And it doesn't have to do only with women, but it has to do with all of us as we seek to apply biblical wisdom in our everyday lives and as we live out the character of Christ in our lives in the real world that God has placed us in. And so this particular chapter, I think, has been mispreached, has misapplied, has been misunderstood for a long time. Like most misused verses, the problem here is a failure to consider three very important things when you approach a Bible passage. Three very important things: genre, audience, and intent. Genre, or what kind of literature is it? Audience, who was it written to, and what was the point? What was the intent of this particular writing or this particular passage? So with that in mind, I want to give you three facts that I believe will help you to forever change your approach and your understanding of Proverbs chapter 31. When you hear about the virtuous woman or the Proverbs 31 woman talked about from here on out, I hope that you'll have a more accurate insight and an understanding of how to read and how to apply this amazing, amazing chapter. So let me give you three facts about this. First of all, the genre. Proverbs 31 is a poem. Proverbs 31 is a poem. It's not a job description for a wife. It's not a job description for a woman. It is a poem. Everyone say poem. Okay, poem. It's a poem. It's a poem. The subject of this 22-line poem, the virtuous woman or the noble woman, is a tangible example of what's celebrated in this entire book. As we've been reading and studying the book of Proverbs, we have been talking about wisdom in action, or the virtue of wisdom. That's what Proverbs really is all about. And all the way through this book, especially as you come to chapter 8, what you see is that Proverbs personifies virtue, this virtue of wisdom. It describes it as a person, or describes it in terms of personhood. And in this case, it uses the term Lady Wisdom. If you read the Message Bible, it talks about Lady Wisdom. It personifies this virtue of wisdom. And now as the book comes to an end, the author is essentially showing us what Lady Wisdom looks like in action in real life. So it's a poem. And secondly, the poem is an acrostic. It comes to us in the form of an acrostic. The first word of each verse starts with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. That's a long acrostic. Aren't you glad I'm not going to do that today? A 22-word acrostic. If I was to do an acrostic, you would hope I would just do one on mom, M-O-M, and we would be done with it. So I'm not going to do that to you today. But it's a 22-letter or word acrostic, which conveys the fact that it uses all of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, conveys the idea of totality in praising the ordinary achievements in the daily life of this impressively diligent woman. That's what it's praising, the ordinary achievements in the everyday life of the virtuous woman. And what does it say that she does? Again, if you scroll down and you scan the rest of this chapter, you find that she tirelessly provides for her home. She's buying and she's trading and she's farming and she's sowing and she's mending. And then she's managing employees. Apparently, she's a business owner. She manages her workers. And not only that, but she's charitable to the poor. She works to put food on her table, and she invests for the future. I mean, she knows how to bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan. I mean, that's the Proverbs 31 woman. But always remember this, at the end of the day, no matter what preachers say about this, no matter how you read this chapter, at the end of the day, this is poetic and not prescriptive. Now, from it, we learn how to live in certain ways. Women have an example of what to aspire to, and those are all fine, but that's not the point. That's not the purpose of this poem. It is poetic. Poems are poetic, right? And not prescriptive. It celebrates women in action. It celebrates wisdom in action, not women in action. Although this woman is very active, and we recognize that, and we honor that. But primarily, this celebrates, it blesses wisdom in action, not women in action. So if you're a lady here today, if you're a mom here today, and you're starting to get up about a Mother's Day sermon that's going to make you feel like you don't live up, relax a little bit. This isn't about being a trophy wife. This is not about being the perfect mom with a perfect kid, or the perfect children. This is not about taking up the loom and beginning to make your children's clothes for them. It's not about that at all. This is about the, listen to this, this is about the overlooked glory of the everyday. Let me say that again. I want you to think about that. This is about the overlooked glory of the everyday, about all of us finding ways to plug wisdom into our daily lives. And that applies to all of us, doesn't it? Specifically, it's painting a picture of a woman who's very wise. But this is about all of us in our ordinary, everyday lives, plugging in wisdom so that we live in a way that honors God, and that people that look at us would say that is honorable and that is wise. So to begin with, what kind of literature is this? This is a poem. The genre, it's a poem. Now, what about the audience? Who is the target audience of this? Do you know who this is written to? This is written to men. We think this is written to women, but primarily the audience of this was men. This was written to guys to help men to be more appreciative husbands, not women to be more attractive wives. This was written for men. This was to help men be better husbands, not wives be better wives. Although that will come out of this if we all apply this, but the primary audience to this, the primary target, is men. This is written to instruct men, to inspire men. And maybe our men's conferences, maybe our men's groups ought to use more Beth Moore videos on the Proverbs 31 woman. Maybe that's what we ought to start doing. It's what we have here, something that was written to encourage and inspire men. Now, in the Jewish culture, even to this day, you can look this up. Proverbs 31 is memorized not by the women, but by the men. It's men who memorize this. And the reason they memorize it is to sing it as a song of praise to the ladies in their lives, their wives, their daughters, their sisters, their mothers, and their special friends who happen to be women. This was memorized by men to sing as a song, this poetic song to the ladies in their lives. You can look it up on YouTube. Just Google Proverbs 31 as a song, and you will see what I'm talking about. And you will find all sorts of men singing this song. Some are very, very good, and some have obviously no singing talent whatsoever. But there it is on YouTube, and you can choose which one you really like or not. Now imagine, guys, if you were to do that today, after church, as you go out to lunch, if you were to sing this Proverbs 31 poem to the lady in your life. I mean, just do it. She will be thoroughly impressed, or it will be very memorable at the very least, right? She won't forget this day. I mean, just pick a tune, any tune, and sing Proverbs 31. Just don't pick "To All the Girls I've Loved Before" or something like that, but pick a tune and just sing this song. She will be amazingly impressed by that gift that you give her. Now, the only instructive, I said this is not prescriptive, it's a poem. The only instruction in this entire text is found in the very last verse of the chapter, verse 31. And the instruction is not for women, again, it's for men. And this is what it says. Honor her, honor the lady in your life for all that her hands have done. The only instruction here is honor, praise, bless the woman in your life for all that her hands have done. And yet, how many times have you heard Proverbs 31 preached as an order for women to follow rather than as an ode to the women we want to cheer? And when we do that, when we make this an instruction or instructive for women, we do it an injustice. We turn this beautiful poem into an unfair task list by which a woman must earn her praise. That misses the point of what Proverbs 31 is all about. It misses the point of the text, which leads me to the third thing that I want you to hear this morning. I want you to understand about this passage, this chapter. Three, the intent. What is the intent? What is the point? Proverbs 31 is really about celebrating valor. This is about celebrating valor. In the first line of the poem, in verse 10, the phrase virtuous or noble or a woman of character, whatever you want to call her, the word there is best translated, the Hebrew word is best translated as valor, as valor. The Hebrew is the word eshet chayel, eshet chayel. Can you say that with me? Eshet chayel. You got to get guttural with that. It's very hard for English speakers to do that. We don't have that kind of a tone in our language. But say it again with me. I want you to remember this. You think I'm just having fun right now, but I want you to remember this particular word. We're going to see it throughout the rest of this message. So say it again, eshet chayel. Turn to somebody. Turn to somebody, and without spitting on them, say that to them, eshet chayel. The Hebrew equivalent for men is gibor chayel. Gibor chayel. It's a man of valor, a woman of valor, a man of valor. Now, interestingly, valor in this poem, and this is a bit of a definition of what valor is. We have an image that we conjure up of what valor means, but in this poem, valor, interestingly, is everything, listen to this, everything in the everyday life of this woman that is done in faith and with love. Now think about that. What is valor? It is everything, large and small, in everyday life that you go after with faith and with love. And in this case, as you again look down the list of things, everything from sewing and baking to investment banking and running a business is blessed by the poem. Eshet chayel. It's the Hebrew equivalent of you go, girl. You go, girl. Now, I want you to let that sink in. Let that sink in. Because valor, listen to this, valor is not what you do. It's how you do it. Valor is not what you do, and what you do is not unimportant. It is. But how you do it is even more important, is even more critical. So whether it's earning a promotion, ladies, whether it's earning a promotion at work or experiencing a pregnancy at home, whether it's acts of tender mercy toward the poor, as this text mentions, or acts of gracious kindness with your toddler, being patient, Whether it's courageously battling breast cancer or creatively balancing your family budget, whatever it is, Eshet Chayel, you go, girl. This is about you. This blesses and honors what you do with in faith and with love. And so I would just say to the ladies of the church, if you're a stay-at-home mom, then be a stay-at-home mom of valor. Do it in faith and with love. If you're a nurse, be a nurse of valor. Do it with faith and with love. If you're a CEO of a company or a barista at Starbucks, if you're married or if you're single, if you're a mom or not, do it with valor. Do it in faith and with love. Do it with faith and with love. You see, a Proverbs 31 woman is not about creating a life worthy of a Pinterest board, although nothing wrong with that. It's about doing what you do out of courageous faith and with great love. To paraphrase another modern-day Eshet Chayel, Mother Teresa said, it's not about doing great things, it's about doing small things with great love. And I would just change that to, it's about doing not just small things, but all things with great love and with courageous faith. Doing all things, great things and small things, all things with great love and courageous faith. And that's what this poem, that's what Proverbs 31 is celebrating. It's the glory of selfless love and the wisdom of courageous faith in the ordinary moments of daily life. The ordinary moments of daily life, courageous faith and great love. And from my vantage point as a pastor, standing here looking out there, leading this church day in and day out, week in and week out, I get to see that in Portland Christian Center's family all the time. I see that in the women of this church. I see that in my own home, in my wife Linda, and my two very strong, successful, godly daughters. I see that in many of you. I think of Grandma Jean, who is 90 years old, 90 years young, and she's down in the youth ministry mentoring and encouraging young people. I think of Sherry, who just quietly mentors women in this church behind the scenes. I think of Mary. I'm sure she's in this service as well. Mary, she's actually teaching a class, leading a class right now. Mary, who is a single woman, and she just comes and she volunteers and she helps like nobody's business, and she is involved in the intercessory prayer ministry of this church. I think of Deanne. Deanne is a mother who has raised 5 children as a single parent under some very trying, very difficult circumstances that I don't know that many of us would be able to endure and still be sitting upright and taking nourishment. It's been a tough go. And she, just in the past 2 weeks, has graduated a son from college, which is a miracle. And he stood before our ordaining board and he received his ministry license because God has called him into the ministry. And last night, I had the privilege of uniting him in marriage with his bride. God bless his mom, who is a true hero. To all of them, to all of you women here at Portland Christian Center, Eshet Chayel, you go, girl. Proverbs 31 cheers you on and celebrates your life. Now, this poetic Proverbs 31 lady isn't the only woman of valor in the Bible that receive such high praise. There are lots of them that I could use as examples today to make the point of what this chapter is all about. We could talk about the well-known examples of Sarah and Deborah and Ruth and Esther and Mary, and you could add a few to that. But just for example, and just for a moment, I want to talk about one that I bet you've never heard of. I will bet you dollars to donuts that you've not heard of this one. In fact, if anyone has heard of this one, if you've read about this one and you remember her, I will buy you a hamburger and fries and a milkshake. You got to be honest about this, but if you remember this one, her name is Shira. Shira. Anyone ever heard of Shira besides what I just said? Anyone? Anyone? Good. I don't have to buy anyone. No, I'm going to check you out on that. Now hands are going up all over the place, all right? Come to me afterwards and maybe I'll work a deal with you. Shira. And I've chosen Shira Precisely because she's thoroughly ordinary and yet impressively valorous. And her story, if you want to turn in your scripture, her story is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 7. Look it up. Follow along. Shira, 1 Chronicles in chapter 7. And if you look at verse 24, this is what it says. It says, Ephraim had a daughter named Shira. And then notice this. She built the towns. She built the towns of Lower and Upper Beth Horon and Uzen Shira. Now, admittedly, reading Chronicles is akin to reading from the phone book, by and large. I mean, it's just endless names and genealogies of people that their names had meaning to the audience when it was written, but to us, you know, there's not a whole lot of value that we get out of those long lists of Hebrew names. But occasionally in these mind-numbing lists, we're interrupted with some very interesting and surprisingly inspiring and often quite intriguing people. I have to confess that as many times as I've read the Bible, as many times as I've read the Old Testament, and I love, in particular, I love the books of history, I can't remember ever reading about Shira. I don't remember her story. Maybe I was sleepwalking at that point because, again, you're just going through lists and lists and lists of people. I don't remember her story, but I saw it this week. And what an interesting story Shira's is. I really wish I knew more about her. But this is what I do know, and you do too as you read this text, that she was born to Ephraim. Now remember, he is one of the two sons of Joseph. He was actually adopted into the family of his grandfather, Jacob, and he became one of the 12 tribes of Israel. The tribe bears the name of Ephraim after him. And we're told in this text that he had a number of sons, but two of his sons were killed. If you read down, two of his sons were killed trying to steal livestock. So, you know, apparently they were cattle rustlers. You know, even God's people have some stuff up their tree that isn't too delightful. And so these two boys were killed as they were trying to steal cattle. And it says that her father Ephraim had been in mourning. He was in deep mourning, as you can imagine, for these two sons. And we don't know how old they were, but they got killed doing something wrong. But God came along and God comforted Ephraim with the birth of another son and the birth of this daughter, Shira. And what's perhaps most interesting in this story is that her story even gets space in a record that's normally dominated by male figures. You see, in that culture, females weren't prominently featured, if at all. So when a woman does make the front page, hold the presses. She must be quite a gal, and Shira is. She built three towns. How many of you have even built one town? She built three towns. How she got people, probably mostly men, to follow her leadership will remain a mystery as long as we're on this earth, but she did it. Somehow she did it. She obviously had a fearless personality. She had great determination. She had some level of organizational skills, and she had the favor of the Lord, most importantly, and she leveraged that. She did something with it. She built three towns that bear her name. And for all time, and perhaps even for throughout all eternity, her story has been memorialized in Scripture. And for that reason, I want to acknowledge that today as well. Here is a lady who was a woman of valor. So let's hear it for Shira, Eshet Chael, you go girl. An unnamed, almost anonymous, nondescript, very common woman makes the pages of Scripture because she did what she did out of courageous faith and with great love. And the Bible is filled with inspiring stories of ladies just like that. And so is this room. This room is filled with story after story after story of ladies who just in the ordinary moments of their day, behind the scenes, not in public view, just do what they do out of courageous faith and with great love. You know, God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't look at the outward appearance or the genetic makeup of an individual. He just looks at their heart. And God uses women. God uses everyone, but God uses women who are willing to courageously exercise faith and do small things, to do all things with great love in the ordinary moments of their daily life. Eshet Chael, a valorous woman. Who can find? Verse 10 goes on to say, she is worth far more than rubies. She is the true trophy. Not the Hollywood kind, not the kind that well-meaning preachers or Pinterest boards have conjured up. She's the real deal. The Proverbs 31 woman is the real trophy gal. She's the kind of woman. She is the kind of woman that is needed in your home. And she is the kind of woman that our church needs. And she is the kind of woman that our nation desperately needs. Eshet Chael. You go, girl. You know, I was thinking about the number of women in our church that are really women of valor, and I thought of another one that I want to tell you about. Some of you know her story. Her name is Carol. Carol is a wife and a mother and a grandmother. She holds down a job. She has been encouraging and helping her own daughter, who has had a baby that's not too old, that it was born with some severe medical issues, physical issues, and the baby is facing this next month some really invasive surgery. And Carol is encouraging her daughter. And in the midst of her own job and her own drama with her daughter, her husband had a stroke. And Carol has been standing by his side, doing her own job, encouraging her husband, encouraging her daughter, encouraging her granddaughter, and taking on her husband's business. And she's doing it away from the public light. She's doing it away from the limelight. She's not asking for any recognition. I know it's very, very tough for her. It's not something that she would have asked for. But she quietly, behind the scenes, day by day, is doing what she does in courageous faith and with great love. Eshet Chael, you go, girl. We celebrate you. And we say that to all of the women of valor in this church. May your tribe increase. We celebrate you and we need you. So what do you do with this message? If Proverbs is about applying wisdom to our everyday lives, what's the application to Proverbs 31 for us? Well, first of all, I would say to all of us, but particularly the men, let me ask you this question. Do you know, when you think about this, do you know a woman of valor? Is there a woman of valor in your life? A wife, a mother, a daughter, a sister, a friend? Who is the woman of valor in your life? Today, your assignment is, tell her how much you respect her and how much you admire her. Chances are, she doesn't get a lot of that in her life. So you be the one to encourage her. You know, I've traveled all around the world, and in every culture, every nation, every place that I've been, I got to tell you this, that women have a lot tougher time than men do. I mean, the deck is stacked against them. And what they are able to accomplish, I think we guys would have quit a long time ago. The women step up and they give it their all. There are some amazing women of valor in this church and in your life and in this world. And when you find one of them, you encourage her, guys. You encourage her. You say to her, Eshet Chael. You can sing it if you dare. And encourage her in the Lord. She's worth it. And I would say to you women, whether you're a mother, a wife, a single mom, we have some single moms in this church, whether you're unmarried, whatever you do, whether you have a prominent job or you're behind the scenes, you know, maybe it is that you're getting discouraged, you feel beat down, you feel underappreciated or not appreciated at all. Sometimes you feel like giving up. Maybe you don't feel like you have the strength to carry on. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're very, very discouraged. I just have a word for you. If you open your Bibles, you see it. It's not on the screen. Open your Bibles to what the Apostle Paul says. I referred to it earlier. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 23 and 24. I leave this with you. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. It says, whatever you do. In the Greek language, do you know what the word whatever means? It means whatever. It's everything. Everything. Important, unimportant, big, small, everything. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. It's working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that the Lord, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. And He is faithful. He is faithful. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. I want you to remember that. Whatever you do, do it with courageous faith and with great love. It is the Lord Christ you are serving.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.